College English Test, Band 4.
Listening Comprehension.
Section A. Directions. In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, 1 or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 1 with a single line through the centre. Now, let's begin with the 8 short conversations. Question 1.
There were more than 100 people at Kate's birthday party. How come she's got so many friends?
It's really no surprise. You know, she was popular even when she was a child.
What does the man imply about Kate?
Question 2.
They say there'll be a snowstorm tonight, and the cold weather will last quite a few days.
Oh, we're so lucky we'll be getting away for a while and having a holiday in Florida. But let's call right now to confirm our flight.
What do we learn about the 2 speakers?
Question 3.
Tony was awarded a medal for rescuing several families from the forest fire.
I really admire his courage.
What do we learn about Tony from the conversation?
Question 4.
My washing machine is more than 15 years old, and it had worked just fine until last night.
You'll never be able to get parts for it, even from Japan, so it might be time to invest in a more recent model.
What does the woman suggest the man do?
Question 5.
I heard about your promotion. You must be thrilled.
Not really. The new office is huge, but the workload has doubled.
What do we learn about the man from the conversation?
Question 6.
I can't decide what to do about the party tomorrow.
You don't have to go if you don't want to, but I'll be glad to give you a ride if you do.
What do we learn from the conversation?
Question 7.
Now, if you have any questions about the contract, I'll be happy to answer them.
Nothing comes to mind right now, but I'd like to go over all the articles of the contract once more before signing it.
What are the speakers doing right now?
Question 8.
We're out of paper for the printer. Can you please order some?
I completed the order form online yesterday, and it'll be here by noon. I'll let you know when it comes in.
What did the woman do? Now you'll hear the two long conversations. Conversation 1.
Bob, do you know who I saw the other day? Old Jake, looking terribly depressed. Did he get pensioned off at last?
Yes. They made him retire after 50 years at sea. He's pretty upset about it, but what can you do? He really is past it.
He's all alone, isn't he?
Yes. His wife's been dead for years. They had one daughter, Doris, but she went off to town as soon as she left school, and he hasn't heard from her since. I hear she's making good money as a model.
Maybe someone could get in touch with her, get her to come back for a while to help.
I don't suppose she'd come. She never got on with her father. He's a bit of a tough character, and she's rather selfish. Oh, I expect old Jake will get by. He's healthy, at least. Comes into the clinic for a check regularly.
Are you his doctor?
No, my partner, Dr. Johnson, is.
That bad-tempered old thing?
Oh, he isn't really bad-tempered. He just looks it. He's an excellent doctor. Taught me a lot. And he has a very nice family. His wife invites me over there to supper every week. Very pleasant.
Yes, I teach the daughter, Pam, at school. She's a bit careless and lazy about her schoolwork, but a bright little thing and very popular with her age group.
Questions 9 to 12 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
Question 9.
Why does old Jake look terribly depressed?
Question 10.
What do we learn about Jake's wife?
Question 11.
What does the man say about Jake's daughter?
Question 12.
What does the man say about Jake's doctor?
Conversation 2. Hello, Mr. Summerfield. How are you today?
Very well, thank you, Ms. Green.
What can I do for you?
Well, unfortunately, there's a problem with the order we received from you yesterday. It seems we've not received the right quantity of manuals to support the telephone system.
Oh, dear. That's bad news. I'm very sorry to hear that. And you don't know how many packs are without manuals?
No, because we haven't opened every pack. But in several of those that have been opened, there are none. No manuals.
I'm very sorry about this inconvenience, Mr. Summerfield. We'll send out the manuals this afternoon by express mail, entirely at our cost. And the manuals should arrive tomorrow, or the day after at the latest.
All of them, right?
Yes. It may be that some have them already, but we cannot be sure. So the best thing is to send out a manual for every pack.
Yes, yes, I see. That would be great.
Please accept our apologies for this mix-up. I assure you we'll do everything possible to find out why the mistake happened.
Right. Thanks for your swift action.
Not at all. Thank you, and goodbye for now. Do call if there's anything else.
All right. Thank you. Goodbye, Ms. Green.
Goodbye.
Questions 13 to 15 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
Question 13.
What problem are the speakers discussing?
Question 14.
What does the woman promise to do?
Question 15.
What does the man think of the solution?
Section B, Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 1 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1. Attracting and feeding wild birds are entertaining activities that have long been enjoyed by people all over the world. Feeding birds has become so popular that prepared feed mixtures are readily available. We feed birds for many reasons. Many pleasant hours can come from watching birds. A hobby often develops into a serious study of their habits. Accurate identification of birds is usually the first goal. But observations that an amateur bird watcher can make are really limitless. There is, however, responsibility associated with bird feeding, including a disease hazard. Attracting numbers of birds continually to the same spot can be harmful to them, particularly species that pick food from the ground contaminated by the droppings of other birds. In winter, feeding efforts are most satisfying to people and are of greatest benefit to birds. During this time, when fewer natural foods are available and air temperatures are lower, extra feeding can keep a bird warm and well. Once begun, feeding should never stop during these lean months. If you start a local increase of birds, be prepared to do what may be required to eliminate hazards to those you want to befriend. A constant supply of food should be given until the cold is over and spring has come. If feeding is stopped during severe weather, birds used to relying upon the feeders might starve.
Questions 16 to 18 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 16.
What does the speaker say about bird watching?
Question 17.
What does the speaker say about birds fed continually on the same spot?
Question 18.
What does the speaker suggest we do when feeding birds in winter? Passage 2. My friend Leo makes up weak and poor excuses whenever there's something he doesn't want to do. Just 2 weeks ago, he was at my house when he decided he didn't want to go into work. He called his boss and said he had to get a new set of tires put on his truck. Then he sat down and watched TV with me. Not only had he lied, but his excuse wasn't a very convincing one. Another time, he canceled a date with his girlfriend at the last minute, telling her he had to get a new battery for his truck. She was angry and refused to go out with him again until he apologized. Last weekend, Leo offered the poorest excuse yet. He'd promise he'd help me move some furniture from my parents' house to my new apartment. He was supposed to bring his truck over about 8 o'clock Saturday morning. I waited and then called and left a message on his machine. About 11:30 he called and said he was sorry, but he'd been getting a new set of tires put on his truck. I guess he'd forgotten he used the same excuse when he called his boss from my house. I think I need a new set of friends. I'm beginning to get tired of Leo's excuses.
Questions 19 to 21 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 19.
What does the speaker tell us about her friend Leo?
Question 20.
What did his girlfriend do when Leo cancelled a date with her at the last minute?
Question 21.
What favor did the speaker ask Leo to do last weekend? Passage 3. In Hollywood, everybody wants to be rich, famous, and beautiful. Nobody wants to be old, unknown, and poor. For Hollywood kids, life can be difficult because they grow up in such an unreal atmosphere. Their parents are ambitious, and the children are part of the parents' ambitions. Parents pay for wasteful grand parties, expensive cars, and designer clothes. When every dream can come true, kids don't learn the value of anything because they have everything. A 13-year-old boy, Trent McGuire, has a driver, credit cards, and unlimited cash to do what he wants when he wants to. One day, I'll earn more than my dad, he boasts. Parents buy care and attention for their children because they have no time to give it themselves. Amanda's mother employs a personal trainer, a bodyguard, a singing coach, and a counselor to look after all her 15-year-old daughter's needs. Often, there is no parent at home most days, so children decide whether to make their own meals or go out to restaurants, when to watch television or do homework. They organize their own social lives. They play no childhood games. They become adults before they're ready. Hollywood has always been the city of dreams. The kids there live unreal lives where money, beauty, and pleasure are the only gods. Will children around the world soon start to think the same? Or do they already?
Questions 22 to 25 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 22.
Why is life said to be difficult for Hollywood kids?
Question 23.
What does the speaker say about Trent McGuire, a 13-year-old boy?
Question 24.
Why does Amanda's mother employ other people to look after her needs?
Question 25.
What will probably have negative effects on the lives of Hollywood kids? Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks with the exact words you have just heard. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Now listen to the passage.
Around 120 years ago, Ebbinghaus began his study of memory. He concentrated on studying how quickly the human mind can remember information. One result of his research is known as the total time hypothesis, which simply means the amount you learn depends on the time you spend trying to learn it. This can be taken as our first rule of learning. Although it is usually true that studying for 4 hours is better than studying for one, there is still the question of how we should use the 4 hours. For example, is it better to study for 4 hours straight, or to study for 1 hour a day for 4 days in a row? The answer, as you may have suspected, is that it is better to spread out the study times. This phenomenon, through which we can learn more efficiently by dividing our practice time, is known as the distribution of practice effect. Thus, our second rule of learning is this. It is better to study fairly briefly, but often. But we're not finished yet. We haven't considered how we should study over very short periods of time. Let's say you're trying to learn some new and rather difficult English vocabulary using a stack of cards. Should you look at the same word in rapid succession, or look at the word and then have some delay before you look at it again? The answer is, it is better to space out the presentations of the word you are to learn.
Now the passage will be read again. Around 120 years ago, Ebbinghaus began his study of memory. He concentrated on studying how quickly the human mind can remember information. One result of his research is known as the total time hypothesis, which simply means the amount you learn depends on the time you spend trying to learn it. This can be taken as our first rule of learning. Although it is usually true that studying for 4 hours is better than studying for one, there is still the question of how we should use the 4 hours. For example, is it better to study for 4 hours straight or to study for 1 hour a day for 4 days in a row? The answer, as you may have suspected, is that it is better to spread out the study times. This phenomenon, through which we can learn more efficiently by dividing our practice time, is known as the distribution of practice effect. Thus, our second rule of learning is this: it is better to study fairly briefly, but often. But we're not finished yet. We haven't considered how we should study over very short periods of time. Let's say you are trying to learn some new and rather difficult English vocabulary using a stack of cards. Should you look at the same word in rapid succession, or look at the word and then have some delay before you look at it again? The answer is, it is better to space out the presentations of the word you are to learn.
Now the passage will be read for the third time. Around 120 years ago, Ebbinghaus began his study of memory. He concentrated on studying how quickly the human mind can remember information. One result of his research is known as the total time hypothesis, which simply means the amount you learn depends on the time you spend trying to learn it. This can be taken as our first rule of learning. Although it is usually true that studying for 4 hours is better than studying for one, there is still the question of how we should use the 4 hours. For example, is it better to study for 4 hours straight or to study for 1 hour a day for 4 days in a row? The answer, as you may have suspected, is that it is better to spread out the study times. This phenomenon, through which we can learn more efficiently by dividing our practice time, is known as the distribution of practice effect. Thus, our second rule of learning is this: it is better to study fairly briefly, but often. But we're not finished yet. We haven't considered how we should study over very short periods of time. Let's say you're trying to learn some new and rather difficult English vocabulary using a stack of cards. Should you look at the same word in rapid succession, or look at the word and then have some delay before you look at it again? The answer is, it is better to space out the presentations of the word you are to learn.
This is the end of listening comprehension. ¶¶